Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Todd Nesloni at Tech Ninja Todd here for our second podcast for the Edu All-Stars. Here with me I have...
Stacy Huffine. I'm a tech specialist at an elementary school in the Houston area in Waller.
And my name is Chris Kessler. My Twitter name is I Am Kessler. And I'm an 8th grade science teacher in Waller as well.
And our guest that we have with us today for our first guest is...
My name is Steve Messler. I'm a 3-time Olympian and Olympic gold medalist in bobsled. And along with my sister, I founded an education program called Classroom Champions.
And we are super pumped that we have Steve as our first guest. So thank you in advance, Steve, for being on here and doing this interview with us. We were freaking out last week when you agreed to be our first guest. So you're like our big all-star person. So we figured that with this being Edu All-Stars, it'd be an awesome start to our podcast.
Well, thanks so much. It's an honor to be on here, and I'm happy that I can take part.
Great. Okay, well, our first question for you is just a little bit, we were interested in a little bit of your personal background, just you growing up and leading into you being an Olympic athlete and all of that.
It's a big, long question.
Yeah.
Should I go week by week starting at around
Actually, I think it'd be better to go like by the day, if you can get the hours in too, that'd be good.
All right. Well, first period was German. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and I grew up playing soccer, and I grew up running track and field. I started running track and field when I was around 11 years old, back in 1990. I was a big soccer player. My dad was doing registration for soccer, and a guy asked him if soccer was going to interfere with his son's track program, and he said, "There's a track program here in Buffalo," and said, "Well, my son should do that because he's the fastest one on the soccer field." So I did it, and we signed up. And the first race I did, I won. And then from there, I wound up becoming a national champion, high school track and field national champion, and All-American out of City Honors School in Buffalo. And from there, it's been from track and field and University of Florida. I was on scholarship to University of Florida. As a Gator, I've got my little Gator water glass right here. Water cup.
I saw that. I was going to ask because I went to UCF.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
She said they were rivals.
I'm kidding.
I figured you'd say that.
So I went to University of Florida, and my degree was graduated with honors with a degree in exercise sports science with a specialization in physical education and health. So I come from an education background. And as a track athlete, in high school, I had an amazing career. And then right before my senior year in high school, right before the season ended, after I'd signed my letter of intent and scholarship to Florida, I blew my hamstring out. And then through 4 years of college track and field, I was hurt every single year. I had an ankle injury for the first 3 years. And I had, if you guys can see that little scar right there, I had Tommy John surgery my last year, which is an elbow from throwing javelin as part of decathlon. And my track career was just winding down. So I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life, just like anybody either leaving college or anybody who was an athlete before has gone through I guess it's time for me to stop being an athlete. And I wasn't quite ready to be done. I'll never forget sitting on the couch, heading into my fifth year at Florida. I was doing my internship in the fall because spring was track season, so couldn't do my internship in the spring. And I was 2 days out of Tommy John surgery. I was sitting on my couch, elbow was in a sling, all drugged up on painkillers, and just thought, you know what, like, I'm not ready to be done being an athlete yet. I wasn't, just something was still pulling me. I didn't want to think I peaked when I was 17 years old in high school. So I had a coach in college, the guy who recruited me to Florida, who had a guy in the 90s who went on to do bobsled and was on the Olympic team in 1998. And he always kind of compared us. And I always kind of laughed it off because I was a decathlete at the University of Florida. What did bobsled have to do with me? But I decided, you know what, maybe, I don't know, maybe. So I pecked away, and this was in August of 2000. So, there wasn't Google, or at least it wasn't, the main form of search engine. I think I used Yahoo to peck away and find the U.S. Olympic Committee, and I sent them an email with my one hand and said, "I'm this big, this strong, this fast. Can I do this?" if I can, let me know. And they, the next day I got, you know, an email back from one of the coaches at USA Bobsled. And he said, yeah, you know, you'd have to gain some weight, but you're what we're looking for. So I started training, and had to go from there, and kind of had to make some mindset shifts and some changes, because I went 5 years of injuries. So how in the world was I going to go from 5 years of injuries into an Olympic sport where I was going to be competing against grown men who had their Olympic dreams and lifelong aspirations on the line? So I had to make some shifts, and I wound up, you know, just deciding that I wasn't going to get hurt anymore. And it was that simple yet that complicated all at the same time. And I wound up, you know, spending the next 9 years in bobsled fairly injury-free, didn't really miss any racing, and went to three Olympic Games and won gold. And I actually got to collaborate with TED and TED Ed, their education platform. So if you were to YouTube TED Ed Messler, you would find this really cool four and a half minute animation of me telling this story. And they worked with animators and created this amazing video. And as you know, if you've been to TED Ed before, you can flip the lessons and do all these things. So it's been a pretty fun collaboration to work with them.
That's very cool.
So that was the condensed 20 year.
Well, but now I remember you saying before, when you're Skyping with Todd and stuff, that this is the first gold medal that the U.S. team had won.
It was the first. Correct? It was the first gold in 62 years.
In 62 years.
It was the first gold since the year my parents were born in 1948.
Wow.
Wow.
That was a. It was quite a long time to be able to. You know, it was a number that we were told and we knew over and over. And I, you know, when I first started in bobsled, my first Olympics in 2002, the number was 54 years. It'd been 54 years, and then when I was on USA One and we were the medal favorite in 2006, it was, you know, it was 58 years. And finally, we were able to reset the clock.
Got it.
So I noticed you're up in Calgary now. What is a U.S. Olympian doing living in Canada?
Well, currently I'm trying to duck and dodge the overflowing river that is Calgary.
You've got a mess up there.
Quite the mayhem here right now. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think over 100,000 people have been evacuated from their homes, which is
wow.
This kind of stuff generally happens south of the city. If it happened eight years ago, it happened south of the city. It happened, but when the river overflows in the city, then it's a whole different ballgame.
How far are you from all of that?
About two blocks over has been evacuated. So.
Wow. So we might just get cut off here at some point.
I'm hoping the river is crested here and my house will be okay. But I moved up here in 2003 because my coach was up here.
The guy who
I could tell, I had just started working with him, and I could tell he was going to be, you know, he was going to be my way of success. So I moved to Calgary to train with him, and seven years later, I was able to climb the top of the podium, and he wasn't able to be at the track. He was down in Vancouver at the time, with some other athletes that he worked with he had his Olympic credential via that sport. I think it was speed skating possibly. But you know, he was one of the first phone calls that I made. And yeah, now he's one of my really good friends. So
that's cool. So does he still live around your area?
No, he moved as soon as Vancouver happened in 2010, he moved over and he was working with, London with UK Athletics, you know, UK track and field, heading to the London Olympic Games. So he's working with their sprinters. And now he works and lives out of Phoenix, Arizona, and works with World Athletics Center, which is this amazing facility, amazing center that's been started by a guy named John Godino, who's, you know, he was a shot putter through the 90s, 2000, that was, you know, Olympic medalist, I think two-time silver medalist maybe. And they've got an amazing center down there with some amazing staff. So he's working and living out of there. And he just actually landed in Europe yesterday because he's got the next month and a half or month over in Europe with some of the track guys.
Wow. What's something that you're passionate about right now?
Do we want to start talking about Classroom Champions yet, or we want to move on?
Sure. If that's
going to be the... my main passion is what my sister and I started, which is Classroom Champions. And that's where we focus our energy. And she works at MDRC out of New York City, doing education research. She's got a PhD in education and social policy. And so, you know, we utilize her on the education portion, and and ensuring that we have great metrics and that our teachers have amazing support. And, you know, she helps work with the curriculum and she helps, you know, work with the lesson plans when needed. And then I work on the athlete side and the growth of the program side and relationship side of that. And, you know, I get to spend, I mean, my sister and I communicate probably every, Lee and I communicate probably every day. So it's kind of, it's a very special thing for us to have seen this thing grow from something that we started when I was an athlete, that we decided to do Classroom Champions because we just wanted to do something impactful. I was tired of going to a school, giving a talk and leaving and never seeing the kids again and having no idea if what I talked to them about, whether it made an impact in their lives, because you just don't know. And, you know, people who go and work with kids on, you know, an every now and then basis kind of say, you know, if one or two kids listen, it was worth my time. And that's just not good enough for us. So that's where Classroom Champions kind of was, the base of it was founded in that, of how can we create a constant communication with an athlete that's currently training and currently competing so kids learn the journey and that it's not just this 2.5 weeks of glory on television that the right. that there's, you know, because that's all kids see. They see the Olympics and they think they think possibly that everything is cupcakes and rainbows. And they don't really see the dirt and the grit and the perseverance that goes in to get there and the overcoming of injuries and all these things. So our kids that are in our program, you know, they learn this from their athletes that like every day isn't great. But it doesn't mean that you give up and it doesn't mean that you work less or that you work and, you know, that you don't work hard. So that's what our kids are learning. It's a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, now, you started this. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, as teachers, we're super excited to hear you say that because, you know, we always have to say, you know, you have to fail in order to grow. And I think that's really important to hear role models say that as well.
I mean, there's not an athlete that's going to tell you any different. You know, I mean, one of the other things that really triggered this was there's so many great programs out there that utilize Olympians or athletes in a fitness fashion, getting kids to be active and fighting childhood obesity and those kind of things. And those are amazing. And we didn't want to duplicate a program that's always doing great stuff. And what was interesting is that when I was asked to do stuff with kids, oftentimes I was asked to do things on the movement side, and the activity side. When I'm asked to do things and I go and speak with corporations, I'm asked to talk about setting goals and perseverance and the struggle. And there was a disconnect there. Why were we talking to our kids differently than we were talking to the adults? Mm-hmm. Why was it that people didn't see the value in athletes communicating that? And partially it's because to utilize a currently training athlete is really difficult. They don't have the time to go to school every day, to go to school and head in. So now all of a sudden now the kids wind up seeing these athletes as they're competing, going through the process, and they learn that. They learn by the athlete doing it, and the kids do it as well. So,
well, I know that you said you started this with your sister, and y'all talk all the time. Have y'all always had a good relationship?
No, when we were kids, we didn't really like each other probably very much. it's so funny because a lot of the kids in the program, they know Lee and I. You know, they know their athlete, and they know that, you know, Steve and Lee, brothers and sisters, created this because it's actually probably a really great story for the teachers to tell. Because, again, when you're, you know, most kids and their siblings oftentimes don't get along great. So I think it's always a fun story because the students always ask me that anytime I hop on a Skype with any of our kids in the program. They want to know how, you know, we got along. And I always say, you know, we didn't get along great. And now she's one of my best friends, so the moral of the story is don't do anything too bad to your brother or sister. You will be friends with them later.
That's great. So whose idea was it to start it, you or Lee's?
It was both of us together. I'll never forget, I was here in Calgary, and I was in the same house, and it was August of 2009, and I was walking, you know, I walk a lot when I talk on the phone, and was kind of pacing on the sidewalk outside. It was a nice evening, and we were just chatting about the fact that my life was what the 10-year-old in us would have dreamt about. My life was, my friends were Olympians, and my friends were Olympic medalists, and it was kind of just became this normal thing in my life. And how cool it would have been when we were kids to be able to just, like, meet people like me and like, my friends and I. And so that's when we kind of thought, like, okay, like, let's do something with this. And it's kind of and that's what I talk to the athletes about that are in the program now, is it's a humbling experience to realize that you can make an impact. To actually step up and say, I can make an impact, it's not only humbling, but you have to have It's almost egotistical to say that. Who are you to make an impact?
Right.
So a lot of athletes are humble, especially Olympic athletes. They're humble in that way. So it's almost breaking them out of that shell and saying, look, you can send this, you can, you know, talk about this topic and tell a story and talk about two or three ways that you do things, and you will impact thousands of kids in just that few minutes. Mm-hmm. You'll impact the hundreds that are adopted classrooms for you via Classroom Champions. And then you're going to impact the thousands of kids from other teachers around the world and around the country that are going to show your videos and download the lesson plans in your classroom. So, or in their classroom. So it's been an eye-opening experience for all of our athletes, I think, to actually be able to then see the impact. When the kids in the program send stuff back to the athletes, it's moving for them because they've never experienced that. They've gone to a school, given a talk, and they leave.
Right.
And now all of a sudden these kids are sending them stuff. Whether it's Meryl Davis and Charlie White, our Olympic medalist ice dancers, sending their kids a message saying, this is how we set goals and we use these steps. Well, then the next month, all of a sudden, all the teachers that are Meryl and Charlie, the kids watch that and they create their own steps and they send it back to Meryl and Charlie, and it's a moving thing for them.
Yeah, that kind of segues perfectly into the next question. I just want to get into a little more detail of what, if I'm a student in like one of our classes, what can I expect from Classroom Champions? What's that going to look like as from a student perspective?
Well, the teacher is going to be your facilitator. So, we lean on teachers. We don't send people to classrooms to run the lessons. We lean on our teachers, and that's why the application process is so thorough for the teachers that apply. Because we want to make sure we have good ones. So their conduit to their athletes is going to be their teacher. So an average, Classroom Champions a day, an average lesson that happens is, the teacher will have reviewed the athlete video. It'll get posted on our internal website first, before it goes live. We want our kids to know that they get first crack at their athlete's lesson before the rest of the public gets to see it. But what happens is the teacher will either let them know, or they'll be able to see on our internal platform that the athlete's lesson is uploaded. The teacher will review it, and then think about what they want that lesson to be around that video. So it'll be a few-day process, but from a student aspect, they'll walk in and, they'll open up with what the topic is, and then they'll watch their athlete's video. And whatever the subject is, whether it's goal setting or fair play or community or steps to success, and then the teacher will then have a discussion around the video. What did the athlete talk about? What did they do? And then the teacher will have some kind of lesson plan around that, whether it be a group activity, whether it be individual reflection, whatever the teacher does. And then the kids will do a lesson around it, and then they'll create something, whether it's a video or whether it's a PowerPoint or whether it's any kind of thing that they can demonstrate to their athlete what they've learned. And having learned that, then they're proud of it and they want to show it off. And what's amazing is you have a lot of kids that are introverted or that are quiet, and all of a sudden you give them a different medium to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And that medium is either video or it's some other way. But all of a sudden they're not just doing that. They're not talking to their teacher. They're not talking to a friend. They're talking to their athlete, who is also their friend, but it's their Olympian. It's their chance to show an Olympian what they've learned. And it's a really special thing for these kids. So they gain confidence not only in themselves, but also in that whatever subject it is and whatever task that they're doing as the year goes on.
So what are some of the athletes that you have that you work with, and how do you get these athletes too?
So what we do is, the last few years we'll take the athletes that are heading into the next Olympic Games. So in 2011, 2012, we had all summer athletes because we want the kids excited about, they're going to use the next Olympics to be the excitement. So this year, it was an off year, but the Winter Olympics are next year. So this year was all winter athletes following the program or that were part of the program. And you know what? Half of them are my friends. Half of them, another quarter of them are athletes that reached out to us and heard about the program and saw it and said, I'd love to be involved in this. And then the other quarter are ones that I've reached out to that, honestly, a couple of the athletes, a guy named Gideon Massey, who Todd being a Classroom Champions teacher for next year, he'll get to know Gideon really well because Gideon's going to be one of his main, main contacts for the program. And, Gideon was an athlete mentor from 2011 to 2012 as a track cyclist. And I followed Gideon on Twitter for 2 weeks and said, this is a solid guy. I would love for this guy to to represent us and work with kids. And he did a great job as an athlete, and he's doing an even better job as a, you know, as a staff member.
Are you always looking to Olympians or, you know, professional sports, basketball and that kind of thing?
Right now we're sticking with Olympians and Paralympians. I mean, some of the most powerful athletes we've had are, you know, Mary Allison Milford and Jerome Singleton and Stephanie Victor, who have been our Paralympians. And the things kids learn from the Paralympians are life-changing, life-stamping.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. That was one of my favorite things about your program is that it wasn't just the Olympic athletes. It was also the Paralympians. And so I think that was such a neat way to bring them into the spotlight with these kids too and let the kids meet them and learn from their stories. I love that part.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite stories is a woman named Heatherly Chambers is kindergarten teacher out of Portland. And we had originally, Lee and I had originally designated the program for like third to eighth grade. And this woman named Heatherly applied, and she was just amazing. And we just said, you know what, let's give her a crack. Let's see what she can do. Because we didn't think 5- and 6-year-olds would get it. We didn't quite think they could register. And she has done some of the most amazing things you've ever seen have come out of her kindergarten class. And she, you know, she writes us all. She writes blogs on our internal page. We post them every now and then. She writes to Lee and I all the time. And one of the things she wrote last spring, she wrote about they headed to the zoo, and it was one of those days where, you know, the whole city goes to the zoo, and it was just kids running everywhere. And she had her little kindergartners there, and a group of kids walk by, and one of her little kindergartners comes up and tugs her on their arm. Teacher, you remember that Olympics video that we watched? And she's like, yeah, we've watched 4 or 5 of them at this point. And she goes, that little girl that walked by didn't have a hand. I wonder what sport she does. Because Mary Allison Milford was a wheelchair basketball player, and that was their athlete. So in this 5- or 6-year-old's mind, the fact that Mary Allison is in a wheelchair, so she's different than her, and she does sports, so that means anybody who's different than her obviously does sports.
And it wasn't viewed as a disability.
It's completely, in our generation, no matter what we see or think, there's a part of us that goes towards that it's a disability, because we've learned that word disability, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. This little 5-year-old and all of these kids at that age, that's not in their head anymore. That stamp is different. And that at that age, that's changed the trajectory of what their opinion of people with a disability is for the rest of their lives. And that's what their athletes have done for them.
Right. Stacey, you want to take the next question?
Yeah. What does Classroom Champions, or how does Classroom Champions promote digital literacy?
So that was one of the founding principles of the program, is that we understood that as we grew the program, we'd be focusing on students in schools that are over 50% free and reduced price lunch. So we're focusing on students in high need schools across the country, and in different countries, we're focusing on slightly different demographics here and there. So in the U.S., we were looking at schools. We knew we were going to be looking at schools who oftentimes couldn't afford the same kind of technology that is in possibly, maybe suburban schools or maybe the higher income, districts. So one of the reasons that we focus on that is when we did the pilot program when I was an athlete, or the first year of the program when I was an athlete, what we found were the kids who were in those kind of schools wound up gravitating even more so towards their athlete, because what we recognized was the fact that maybe they didn't have as many people in their lives that were like that, or maybe their communities weren't in the same kind of structure and the same kind of safe as some of the other schools that we were in. Mm-hmm. So that's really why we focused on that. And now what we've done is, as the program's grown, our capacity to provide technology has changed. When the first year of the program, when I was an athlete, we couldn't provide anything. We just encouraged the teachers to make the videos, and I would send the videos, and that was it. The second year of the program, we provided all the teachers and all the athletes with video cameras, with little flip style cameras. Well, mm-hmm. Cisco had donated flip cameras for us. Well, then flip got shut down.
Yeah.
So then the third year of the program, we donated everybody video cameras as well. Now next year, going into our fourth year of the program, all of our returning teachers, at the very minimum, all of our returning teachers will be receiving iPads, and all of our new teachers will be receiving video cameras, which is a great segue into Todd's classroom. So Todd doesn't know this yet, But Todd being a Houston area classroom, we have a few sponsors of different schools in different areas of the country. And when we have a sponsored school, those sponsored schools get extra technology because the dollars are coming from a specific corporate sponsor. So TransCanada sponsored the Houston area. Todd was selected as the Houston area school, which means that Todd's classroom next fall is going to get an iPad, an Apple TV, and a flat screen television for his classroom.
Wow, that's awesome. I did not know that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so
that's so cool. And we don't have any of that, so that's awesome.
So for us to be able to provide that kind of technology into classrooms that don't have, that oftentimes don't have that kind of ability, is something very special for us. And what that means, that we can provide that technology, that means that kids in Todd's classroom, kids in the classrooms across Classroom Champions, and across Canada, that's the same thing. All the teachers in Canada will be getting iPads as well. That it's going to just, in our, slowly but surely, our way is providing these kids more and more tools that they're going to need as they grow up. If you can't operate iPads, laptops, any of these things, if you can't Skype, if you can't use Google Hangouts, if you can't do all these things, you are going to be at a significant disadvantage as you leave school. So as the program goes and our capacity to be able to do things and our, you know, support and our funding increases and we get more and more companies on board and more funders on board, more and more technology is going to go into the classrooms to ensure that, in essence, we provide the technology that's needed to connect with the athlete.
Right.
So that's where the iPad, all the iPads for the teachers are loaded with iMovie. So they can... Cool. They can shoot, they can edit, and they can upload it to the program straight from their iPad. They don't have to leave their iPad to upload to our internal Ning site or to our private YouTube for us then be able to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And the kids learn to do this. The kids actually, you know, eventually it's not going to be Todd behind the iPad videoing the kids doing things. It's going to be the kids behind the iPad videoing each other. And it's going to be the kids learning how to... you know, produce and right. learning that, you know, you have, everybody has to have a role, right? Like, you know, these three kids are going to do this and this, and that's what happens in our classroom is that kids actually rally around production. They rally around the different ways that they can communicate. So that's how we're looking to increase digital literacy is by communications technology and giving the kids something that they can be excited to do that mm-hmm. because they're communicating to their athlete. So it's not just a random assignment or it's not just something that maybe you have to twist their arms to do because you're asked. This is like they're excited to do this. So.
Right. Well, I will say that doing – like this is our first year that we did any Skypes or anything like that in our classroom. And even though technically you're not meeting that person in face-to-face physically, the kids think it's just as cool to meet them. I mean, you were by far the highlight of my students' years because my students, like you said earlier, are students that are never going to – and most of their lives, they're not going to meet people like you, much less anybody that's a famous athlete or anything, just because of the kind of environment they come from. And so interacting with athletes like this is very inspiring for them when they wouldn't normally get that opportunity.
And what the amazing thing is, and I did a TEDx talk specifically on Classroom Champions a couple years ago, or a year and a half, 2 years ago. And what I talk about in that is for anybody, any of my friends who have teenagers or anybody here as teenagers, you know, you walk into the living room and you see them on the couch texting their best friend. No big deal, except for their best friend's on the other side of the couch. And what do? We yell at them. Like, talk to each other. You're in the same room. Talk. They're communicating. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm not here to have the debate of whether this digital communication is the right or wrong way.
Right.
That's how they communicate. So why fight it? Why not embrace it? And that's what we're doing. These kids know their athlete. Don't tell them they don't know them. They've mm-hmm. gotten videos from them, they've shared videos to them, and they've Skyped with them. That is personal connection for that generation.
Yep.
We've seen it 10 times over if we've not seen it 100 times in our program, where that connection is there, that mentoring connection is there, because this is how we communicate. That's it for them.
Nowadays it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not only nowadays, Stacey, it's going to be from now on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not going to revert back.
I mean, a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old or even a 20-year-old doesn't know any different. A 10-year-old now does not know the world without Skype. Mm-hmm. And right. they will never know the world without video without this. And it's just only going to get better.
I always hear this great quote is that kids today that have an iPad, it's the worst technology they're going to see in their lifetime. And I think that's so empowerful. You know, so powerful.
It's amazing. So
it's, you know, our Commodore 64, basically.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, our audience is mostly going to be teachers. And so if teachers were interested in getting on with the program, is there an open enrollment for that kind of thing, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we have how the system is currently set up is in the spring we have our open application period, usually starts in March-ish, and it goes through mid-late April for round one. And that's an open application period for any teachers. Again, our program mandate is over 50% or more high-need population in a school. And that's in the U.S. In Canada, we look at low socioeconomic, low access, which means in Canada it means very rural or very northern or out, just disconnected. You have that a lot in Canada. So we decided that one of our engagement areas would be low access, and then we also work in Aboriginal communities, which is their Native American population up here. So, you know, different countries will have different needs. In essence, when we in the U.S., we decided that it's a lot easier of a system to follow, right? You can look up that percentage number for any school that's a public school, and you can find it. Canada doesn't have that, so when we had to come to the board here and say, okay, where do you want to impact? And make that decision. So for a teacher that then is in that kind of school, they apply to the program, then they get accepted into round two if they meet certain criteria, and then they have to answer a few questions, and then the board looks at everything, and some of the returning teachers look at that, and that's how we select. Now that's to be part of the program, like Todd is for next year. Any other teacher, what we've done this past year is we revamped our website. So any teacher in the country, any teacher in the world that's, right now we're only English speaking, Costa Rica will be starting to upload some Spanish stuff soon. Any teacher can hop onto classroomchampions.org and go to subjects, find a subject they want that they want to talk about with their kids. They can review the videos. They can grab a lesson plan off of there, and they can show them in their classrooms. And the new website is we have our own server for video, which means that it's not YouTube-based, which means teachers can watch it.
Right.
It's not locked.
Yeah, it's not locked. So exactly. So that was a big thing. Our first iteration of our website, you know, embedded through YouTube. And it was a huge issue because it didn't do what we wanted from a public aspect.
Right.
So that's one way that teachers can engage with the program is, and our suggestion to teachers out there is in the fall, pick an athlete and follow that athlete the whole year, just as if you were in the program. It would be the same for the kids. You can even create videos. You can send us videos, but you can, follow an athlete, pick Kurt Tomasevich, who's one of my old teammates. Generally he speaks to 6th to 8th graders if you're in that age range. And every month when his video gets posted, Kurt sent a new video, everybody, and run that lesson. And you get pretty close to the same impact. And then at the same time, you can hop over to Skype Education. I think it's education.skype.com. Yeah. So we're a partner with Skype in the Classroom. We have a partner page on there, and you can hop on and we give monthly lessons to the public, and we select one or two teachers every month from there.
So. Well, and that's where we found out about it was through the education.skype.com. I had just been looking on things and saw that they were looking to Skype with classes about goal setting, and so I just said that I wanted to be involved and then got selected, and that's how I got to be do the first Skype with y'all.
Yeah.
Now, what you said you're in the English-speaking countries. What countries? Are you in any other countries besides the United States and Canada?
No. Canada starts in the fall. We're in Costa Rica. We're running a pilot program in Costa Rica right now with an athlete named Leonardo Chacon, who's their top triathlete and one of their biggest athletes in the country, working with a school in a small town there. But again, we find teachers from the UK. We find teachers from Australia. We find teachers from, even Germany and some other places that some of our sports are popular. We know that they're being watched in schools. Through those, in those areas. So eventually, yes, eventually we'll be in a lot of other countries.
You're also a keynote speaker. Where do you speak normally? I mean, how often are you speaking, and what kind of thing? Do you always speak about Classroom Champions?
No, I do have that other part of my life, which was the Olympics. So oftentimes people want to hear about that. I do a few different things. I mean, I'm a corporate consultant, so I work with companies on with their leadership and their teams. But then from a keynote and motivational speaking arena, I've been asked to speak about the Olympic journey. I've been asked to speak about classroom champions. I've been asked to speak about volunteer engagement and employee engagement. I've been asked to speak about change and creativity and, you know, innovation, which is what Classroom Champions is. It's flipping a model, right? I mean, the classic model was, you know, one visit, in, out, leave, mm-hmm. which was classic model, and everybody loves it. Well, how do you find an issue with it, and where do you switch that over? I mean, I just did a TEDx talk last month that should be posted here pretty soon via TED and TEDx. Is, you know, it was, you know, finding problems with things and using problems as your source to innovate and create.
Now, where did you speak that you thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm getting asked to speak here? Or when did that first happen for you?
I've gotten to speak at a lot of really amazing places. And I think the top few would be in April of 2010, Kurt Tomasevich, one of my teammates, myself, and two skiers. A good friend of ours, Shannon Barkey, who's a mogul skier, set this up. We went down to Luke Air Force Base outside of Phoenix, and we got to take F-16 rides.
Wow.
And after the F-16 rides, we spoke to the troops. And I got to speak to the troops. My subject was team and teamwork. So to speak to, you know, a base full of, you know, pilots and support staff and entire base about teamwork is pretty surreal.
Yeah. And you were actually able to talk after the plane ride?
I was actually able to talk, yeah. Once I, you know, I mean, I cleared my stomach of my breakfast, so that wasn't in the way anymore. And then, you know, I, like, another area I'll never forget is we went into Harvard, and myself and Apollo Ono, and I believe it was April Holmes as well, as a Paralympian, the three of us went with Deloitte, and we spoke at Harvard grad school, so it was the MBA students at Harvard. And it was a great event, and it was really intimate and neat. And as we were walking out, I turned to Apollo, and I was like, you know, you skated in circles, and I ran for 5 seconds and sat on my feet. And we just addressed the future leaders of the future of Fortune 500 in the world. I mean, there's amazing people that are going through that MBA program at Harvard. I mean, it's the best of the best. And, yeah. You know, we were asked to speak about that. You know, I've sat on panels. I've sat on a panel as an expert in Sochi, Russia. I was just in Dubai a couple months ago to sit on a panel over there.
Wow.
And be able to speak about not only Classroom Champions, but about, you know, the challenges facing sport in the peace process and trying to facilitate communication.
So. Now, is this normal now for you, or are there still some days that you wake up and you go, seriously, is this my life?
I hope that never ends. I mean, I shake my head when I hop on, you know, on a Friday evening, just 2 months ago on a Friday evening, I was speaking out in Banff, out here outside of Calgary. And then the next day I hop on a plane, and the next night I land in Dubai. And, you know, the next day I'm sitting at a press conference with, some amazing athletes, global athletes that are all from the Middle East and Africa. And because of the work that, you know, our teachers do in Classroom Champions, the way they're able to utilize what our amazing athletes are doing, I get to represent them and head over, and the world is excited about the things Classroom Champions is doing because they've never seen currently competing athletes be utilized in the way we do. It's impossible to do it. How do you get somebody who's training for the Olympic Games to do something? Well, you make it, you lower the barriers of entry, and you know what their issues are, and you go around those, and you make it easy for them, and you make it impactful for them and inspirational for them. Quite often I stop and I just, and, you know,
wow.
and Lee and my sister and I have these moments where things will happen, or we'll get these images will come in from the program, or these videos will come in that kids are doing based on what the athletes are doing. And sometimes we just stop and we just look at each other and we're like, wow, like, mm-hmm. Look what we get to do.
This is so cool.
Well, I'm telling you, after hearing that, I mean, we feel even more blessed to have you on our podcast. Yeah, just, I don't know how we were able to schedule you in with you constantly traveling, so this is quite the honor.
No, it's, you know, I mean, like I said, Todd, you're part of our team now. I mean, that's our, we are Costume Champions is one big community, and you know, one thing that Lee has been very, very passionate about is creating this community where teachers share information and work, and it's getting easier with, you know, with the internet, but all of a sudden now we're giving giving teachers in our program, and we want to find ways that we can get our teachers in our program to then help educate and inspire the teachers that are outside of the program to actually grow the impact of the program, and things like this are that. But all of a sudden now, kids in Waller, Texas are going to be able to communicate with kids in New York and Toronto and Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary, all sitting on a Skype together.
Right.
I mean, and all having something in common, not just randomly doing it for the sake of, okay, it's cool to do this.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing it because they're going to share, you know, they're going to share what their athlete taught them about community involvement this month. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to share what, you know, they did because of what their athlete taught them with, you know, leadership this month. And they're going to be pumped to do that. And also they're going to be pumped to learn about what the other kids' athletes taught them and where they are. And everybody's connected that way. So that's something that Lee has been really passionate about. And I know she's really excited about seeing this happen and evolve.
Right. Chris, you want to hit the last question?
Yeah. So yeah, we're super excited. Thanks for coming on and everything. If you want to, if you could drop a couple of your websites and your Twitter handle and ways we can communicate with you online or people can find you, that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, I would encourage teachers to hop onto classroomchampions.org and, you know, utilize the program in their classrooms. You know, again, these videos are, we spend the extra on the website for you guys. That is why we run our own videos, because we want to make it accessible. And as these Olympics come forward in February, imagine an Emily Cook or an Alana Myers or an Erin Hamlin, that these kids are going to walk into school on a Tuesday. They're going to learn from Erin Hamlin about how to set a goal. They're going to do that lesson because the teacher will have downloaded the lesson plan. And then that night, they're going to go home and watch Erin at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, amazing.
So classroomchampions.org, you know, more about myself or speaking and anything like that. SteveMessler.com has that kind of information and contact info there, at Steve Messler, 1S in Messler, on Twitter. And, yeah, that's us and that's me. And it's been a fun experience, and I'm really, really just, I mean, I'm lucky and I'm honored that my friends now are supporting Classroom Champions.
Right.
And like, I mean, I feel so great that the athletes, you know, the athletes love the program, and they honestly, like, they love being a part of it because it, you know, takes them out of their little bubble, if only mm-hmm. for a small amount of time every month. And, you know, and they get to think about why they're doing this. So.
Well, I just wanted to tell you from us, thank you so much for doing this podcast with us.
And being our first.
Yes. And I'm telling you, the more you talked, I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what I wanted this podcast to be like. And so, I mean, you were like the perfect first guest to have. So we really appreciate you giving us some time, especially with all the craziness going on right now in your area. And so... from us, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Appreciate
yes,
it. Thank you.
And I hope everything stays okay there for you.
I hope so too. I think a lot of people are hurting here right now. But thank you for having me. Thanks for doing this. I think what you guys are doing is great. I think that anytime we see teachers using technology, we at Classroom Champions love to see it. We love to see teachers sharing what they're doing. You know, and we appreciate, you know, you guys being supporters of Classroom Champions, and, you know, we hope that your audience enjoys the program. You know, I can speak on behalf of the athletes, and I can say that they're excited to be a part, and they're excited to teach your kids, and they want to, you know, they want your kids to get as much out of it as they possibly can. So thanks for having me, and I will talk to y'all soon, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
And as a teacher that's been involved in the program, I can say, too, that I think every teacher listening should really check out the website and find a way to get involved, whether it's just, like you said, checking out the videos, because it really is a great thing. For all those of you that are listening, you can check us out on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ. Our hashtag is #EDUAllStars. We have our blog on and all of the information about this podcast and upcoming podcasts on our website, www.eduallstars.com. And on iTunes, you can find us and our podcast on EDU All Stars, no spaces anywhere in there. So it's all one word, EDU All Stars.
And again, we'd like to just say thanks to everybody for listening. And thank you, Chris Messler, again, or Steve Messler, again, for coming, for doing this with us. We have a ton of people lined up. We're not going to name drop anybody right now, but we've been working really hard to line up some really good guests for the education community out there.
Yeah, and the last thing, if you made it this far, we think that you probably appreciate the content. We just want you to encourage you to go subscribe to the feed on iTunes or through the podcast. What happens is iTunes ranks your podcast based on subscriptions and comments. So if you could leave some feedback, if you thought it sucked, then please just
then you can answer to me.
That's yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, we really appreciate everyone being here. Thanks for everything.